end of our mini-series that we did on, we just called it See the Field, where we're just looking at the life of David, especially the young life of David before he became king. Today we're going to see him become king, and all the things that kind of went on with that and King Saul and everything. We put it in the analogy of a football field, and so we just called it See the Field. And the first week we went through seeing the field from the perspective of it's like the final drive, and you got the ball on the 2-yard line, you got 98 yards to go get your goal, and you're going to get that goal, but it is 98 yards away, it's a long way away, it's going to take a while to get there, but you got to do what you got to do right now in order to get there. You got to grind it out, you got to take care of business here and now, even though you know what's going to happen later. And then what we said on that was David, he got anointed to attain the kingship, but he couldn't take it right then. He was anointed for it, but he couldn't attain it. So what did he do? He went back to the last thing God told him to do, which was go back out to the sheep field. He was anointed to be king, but he went out to tend the sheep because that was the thing that he was supposed to do. And that's what he went and did. He worked with the sheep. And then found out by the king that he could actually play the harp. It's kind of like a harp real well. And when the king was having some emotional disturbance, they got David to come in. And so here he is. He's the anointed king playing music for the sitting king. And that's what he had to do. I mean, he couldn't take on the throne yet. He wasn't ready for that yet. So that's what he did. He just had to grind it out where he was, doing the last thing God told him to do. And then last week, we were talking about basically a Hail Mary pass, going for the long shot, taking the 2% chance. Yesterday, I was watching Iowa versus Penn State, and it looked like Iowa was going to come back there, and they had a chance for a Hail Mary pass, and a Hail Mary pass is not where we pray, but you know, the Hail Mary, Mother of Grace, and the thing that the Catholics talk about. Hail Mary pass is basically like, we're going to throw this out there and hope this works, and you send as many people down the field as you possibly can to try to complete the pass and score the touchdown at the end of the game. Well, Iowa gets the ball back, and then the quarterback like gets in trouble, and so he tosses it backwards to a lineman. Like, this guy's like 398 pounds, and they had about 60 yards to go. I think he made it 14 yards before he ran out of air, and 8 guys just collapse on him. So sometimes, most of the time actually, the Hail Mary pass doesn't work. It's a long shot for a reason. And the long shot that David took was to take on Goliath the giant. And David had to do it in his own way to take on the giant and not wear the king's clothes and do it with a sword and a shield, because David knew that it had to be a victory that God had made, that God had done it in God's way and in God's timing. So David took 5 smooth stones. He only needed 1 of them in his sling, and he shot that thing right between the eyes on Goliath. He died, and then gruesome stuff happened. But it was a long shot, okay? It was the long shot, and he took the long shot. Sometimes we have a long shot that we need to take. But today, as far as the football analogy goes, what we're going to say is we completed our Hail Mary pass, and we got the ball down the field. But we didn't quite score the touchdown. We didn't make the goal yet. David did not yet attain kingship, even when he killed the giant. We're there, but there's still time left on the clock. All right? We got to call a timeout, and during our timeout, David had a lot of things happen to him. We'll just kind of briefly discuss those things. But we're there at the goal line. We're right there. We're ready to plunge it across the goal line. It's goal to go, and we're going to get to our goal today. And we're ready to plunge the ball across the goal line. It got me thinking about basically these words where Jesus says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Now, sometimes I am not patient enough for those things to happen. To ask and it'll be given. To seek, to knock. Sometimes I just want to kick the door down, not just knock. I want to knock the door down, not just knock on the door and let the door be open for me. In football, a running back or a ball carrier, when they all, you know, they're lined up. I don't know how much you know about football. So I'm having a hard time here. Like, in football, you got them all lined up, and you got the quarterback, and they hand the ball off to the running back, and the running back takes the ball, and he has to be patient, just patient enough for the hole to open up. He has to wait just a little tick and have the foresight to see where's the hole going to open, and then as soon, maybe even before that hole opens up, he's got to get it. Okay, he's got to get after. He's got to plunge the ball across the goal line. Here's a couple of our favorite running backs. There's Maurice Clarett on the right at the 2002 National Championship game, plunging the ball across the goal line. And there's Ezekiel Elliott doing the same against Notre Dame, probably Fiesta Bowl or something like that. You have to be a little bit patient, but then as soon as it's possible, as soon as the hole opens up, you don't wait anymore. So does the running back stand there knocking on the door, waiting for it to open? Well, maybe just a little bit. He'll knock on the door. You'll see a running back. He'll dance around a little bit, wait for that hole to open up, and then as soon as the door opens, he takes a plunge. He goes across the goal. He takes it. So talking to my huddle group about this, yeah, we call it a huddle group because I guess we carried that football analogy pretty far. But our huddle group is a little discipleship group that meets on Wednesday mornings. That the thought that knocking down the door, like I sometimes want to do, you knock on the door, knock down the door. If you knock down the door, you don't know what's on the other side and who you're knocking over, who you're stepping on. It is when you plunge across the goal line, do you have to step on people to get there? And we don't want to step on people who are in the way. God would never uses other people as a stepping stone for you to accomplish your goals. God never uses other people to squash them to elevate you. God doesn't do it that way. So knocking over the door, knocking in the door, kicking in the door is not something that God does. God opens the door for you, and then you can walk in, and you don't have to hurt anybody in the process. But when it's time to plunge across the goal line, you got to do it. You got to take it. You got to carry it across. You got to do it. You got to take the steps that are necessary. Walk through the door when God opens the door for it to be able, because the hole only lasts so long. In football, the hole's only there for just a second, and you got to be ready to step through. The door's only open for so long. And when it's goal to go, you got to go for it. You got to get after it. So we're going to take a look at David's life and what happened in David's life and the process that he took to get king, because he was in the shepherd field for a while, and he was anointed, like I said, at about 13 years old, and goes back to the fields and to be a shepherd. Then he's called up to be a musician in the king's court, and he does that for a while. Then he goes out and he's kind of doing both for a while, and then he's full-time with the king, and then he goes and kills the giant, you know. And after that, he becomes best friends with Saul's son, Jonathan. All right, they become best of buds. You might have even heard of that. Jonathan and David, they were best friends. And then actually he's betrothed to be married to Saul's daughter. So he loves the son as a brother, and he loves the daughter as a wife. And then Saul starts to take notice, like, this David guy, he's kind of gaining power. And he's starting to get up there a little bit. And you can read all that from 1 Samuel 18 to the end of 1 Samuel and into 2 Samuel. So David's winning battles, and he's gaining followers. And the women, they're starting to sing about David. They start making up songs like, Saul killed his thousands. David's killed his tens of thousands. And Saul's like, huh? What about me? Come on now. I'm the king. So he starts to get a little bit jealous. But meanwhile, in all of this, you remember the whole reason why David was employed by the king to start with? It was to play music for him, but it was to calm his spirit. So Saul continued to have what we would now call, we would call it bipolar disorder, is what we would call it. He would be up and down, and he would get so ragingly angry and manic even. He would get so angry, he would actually try to kill David. In those periods of distress that he was in, he multiple times you see him throwing his spear at David, and David escapes, and he takes refuge somewhere. He tries to kill David, and then you would see later on in the chapter, as he came down from his rage, that he was apologetic. He was remorseful for what he had done. And then he would say he would never do it again. And then the next chapter we see, oh, there's old Saul trying to kill David again. It happens over and over. Saul was a sick man. And let me just, I just want to take a pause here for a moment and discuss this particular issue for just a second. This happens yet today. All right, these kinds of things happen today. And if you have experienced that sort of thing in your home, then you know what that real fear is like. You've maybe been there before. And there's only one thing you can do in that moment, in those situations, and that is to empower yourself to protect yourself. And look what David did. He flee. He would get out of the situation and he would take refuge somewhere wherever he needed to go. David did it. He was in service to the king. He loved the king. He loved the king's son as his brother. He loved the king's daughter as his wife. He thought maybe even through his music he could help the king. He thought he could save the king. He thought he could love the king back into health, but he couldn't do it because it was not David who was the one who could fix Saul. He couldn't do it. In fact, on multiple occasions, we even see David protecting Saul. He was protecting the one who was trying to come after him. But finally, David had to just break away and protect himself. So I just want to say some of you might be in that situation, as hard as it is to have that reality and to even discuss this publicly. If you need a voice to empower you to protect yourself, then let me be that voice and say, protect yourself. Protect yourself. As much as you love that person and you love that person's family, let me be the one to say, protect yourself. And as much as you think you might be the person to fix that person, don't think that David thought that too. You might be able to think you might be able to make them whole. You likely won't be the one to make them whole. So protect yourself, because like David, you are meant for more than to be the object of someone else's anger. You are meant for more than to be constantly in fear for yourself. So I urge you to protect yourself. And for those of you who have taken those steps in your life previously, congratulations, those are very difficult, very courageous steps to take. And so if you need help in that area, and at Little Arrows, we've seen it before, we've helped people before, we can help you too. We can discreetly help you if you need that. Take steps to protect yourself. And if you identify with Saul in this situation, maybe you exhibit symptoms like Saul, and maybe you have some mental health issues, then we can help you with that too. We have a ministry that kind of helps with those things with Rich and Chuck, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. We just urge you to love yourself as much as your family loves you, and we want you to get the help that you need. There's plenty of treatment options available. So that's just a little side note, honestly, is that that's not why we're here today, but I just want to fast forward through all the years of David and the service that he had, and David being prepared for attaining the position of king, and all that anointing for the point where he would take kingship. So it was from the time he was anointed, so like way back from 13 years old, to the time that he actually attained the position of king, was minimum of 17 years. As I read a bunch of different timelines on this, minimum of 17 years, maximum of like 33 years. Like, it took a long time from the time he was anointed to the time he actually took king. It was like, we'll just call it 20 years. How about that? You know, it's probably minimum 17, max 33. From the time he defeated the giant, it was like 12 years to 30 years. All right? It was a long time from the time he was anointed and started taking, doing leadership kinds of things to the time he actually became the king. And then that was just to become king of Judah. All right? He only became king of half of Israel, really, geographically speaking, because the other half, when Saul died, went with Saul's son. And it took him 7.5 more years to unify the kingdom and take control of Jerusalem. So here's when that moment all comes together for Israel. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. It says, all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron. Not our Hebron, okay? This is a Hebron over there in modern-day Israel. All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, we are your own flesh and blood. In the past, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on the military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, you will shepherd my people, and you will become their ruler. When all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, the king made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. And that's an important moment, because now he's king of the entire unified Israel, both the northern tribes and Judah. It took him 7.5 years of fighting a civil war to make that happen. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years. That's how we know it was probably more like 17 years from the time of anointment, and he reigned 40 more years after that. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. The king and his men marched to Jerusalem to attack the Jebusites who lived there. So once they all decided to get together, they all unified together to go fight the Jebusites and take over Jerusalem. So I want to say this. Once David finally possessed the position of king, he took on the presence of king. All right? When the timing was right, he just went for it. He took it. He plunged the ball across the goal line. He took the steps necessary to actually be king and be king in that presence. Now, he was the only king, like I said, of Judah to start with, but then 7.5 years, he went and fought battles to unify the whole kingdom. And once Saul's son died, the rest of Israel came under David's kingship, his sphere of influence, and they immediately went together to unify together to attack Jerusalem and take Jerusalem as the stronghold. So David took the plunge. No more waiting around. No more sheep fields. No more watching Saul from behind his harp, you know. No more just watching things happen. No more hiding from Saul in caves out in the wilderness. When it was time to go, David took the plunge. He took the throne because he was finally where he was anointed to be. He took the plunge as king. But first, he took the preparation as a shepherd. And then he took the possibility to defeat the giant. And then he took the plunge to unify his country as king. And he did it in the right time. He did it the right time in the right way. Throughout those scriptures, we see at least two occasions where David had the opportunity to kill Saul. But he didn't want to be the one to kill Saul. He knew as soon as Saul was dead, he would be king. But he didn't want to be the one who killed Saul himself. So the timing wasn't right. It had to be in God's timing. And I want to read to you a passage from 1 Samuel 24. It's a little bit long, but I love this story because it's so human. All right? It's so just put yourself in the position of any one of the characters that are here. It says, after Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, David is in the desert of En-Gedi. So Saul took 3,000 able young men from all Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats. Now, I don't know where that is, but there must have been some wild goats in those crags somewhere because that's why they called it that. And they weren't going on an outreach mission, okay? 3,000 guys, they were coming to kill David and David's men. So he came to the sheep pens along the way, and there was a cave there. And Saul went in to relieve himself. How human is that? He's like, I got to make a pit stop, boys. So he goes into the cave because he has to go to the bathroom, all right? David and his men were in the back of the cave. And the men said, this is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish. They're like, come on, David, there's the guy. Go kill him. God has presented him to you. You can do it now. Just stick that knife in his back and be done with this. David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. I don't know what kind of business he was doing in there, but he was distracted enough that somebody could cut his clothes off without him noticing. Afterwards, David was conscience stricken. That means he felt guilty. He felt guilty. He was conscience stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe, and he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed. He's still serving the king. Or lay my hand on him, for he is anointed of the Lord. With these words, David sharply rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave, and he went his way. Then David went out of the cave and called out to Saul, "My lord, the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. And he said to Saul, "Why do you listen when men say, 'David is bent on harming you'? This day you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, 'I'll not lay my hand on my Lord, because he is the Lord's anointed. See, my father, look at this piece of robe in my hand. I cut off the corner of your robe, but did not kill you. See that there is nothing in my hand to indicate that I am guilty of any wrongdoing or rebellion. I have not wronged you, but you are hunting me down to take my life. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs that you have done to me. But my hand will not touch you. As the old saying goes, from evildoers come evil deeds, so my hand will not touch you.'" And David had the chance. He had the chance right there to take Saul out, but he did not stoop to Saul's level. He refused to kill Saul. He refused to do evil upon Saul, even though Saul had been doing evil upon him. And then he even felt guilty about cutting the robe. He was conscience-stricken about that. He felt guilty about it. David protected Saul because he stayed subservient to Saul for his entire life. And I would say this, because even though he knew he was anointed to be king, he wanted to do it in God's timing. It had to be done at the right time. David knew he would be king when Saul died, but he did not want to be the cause of Saul dying. It had to be done in God's timing. Ask and receive. Seek and find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. David didn't go kicking down any doors. He could have kicked one right there, but he waited for the door to be open to him. Once that door was open, David went through it. There's something to be said about waiting on God and then moving with God. You can wait on God, and you can wait, and you can wait, and wait, and wait, and wait on God to do God's thing, whatever God's going to do. But then in all that waiting, sometimes we can miss the opportunity to step through the door. We can miss the opportunity to move when the opportunity is right, when the timing is right, because we're so used to waiting and waiting and waiting. And when you read that story of Saul, like from Saul and David, like from chapter 15, 1 Samuel, to maybe chapter 5 of 2 Samuel, I read it over and over this last couple weeks, and I'm like, just do it, David. Come on, man. You got the shot. Just take it. It's yours. But he doesn't do it. He doesn't move to claim his position until God opens the door for him to take the position. In the church, we like to cautiously make good decisions, well-reasoned, logical decisions based on copious amounts of study. We like to have an analysis of everything. And sometimes, though, the problem with that is it provides nothing but paralysis. Have you ever heard of that? Paralysis via analysis or something along those lines. We talk about it so much. We think about it. We wait. We wait. We wait. And then we never make the move. And when we're finally ready to make the move, the door is closed. The hole has closed. It's shut. The opportunity is gone. And then we never know what it would have been like if we'd have went ahead and did what God was leading us to do at the time he was leading us to do it. We don't know what impact we could have made if we'd have just taken the plunge. I'm all for waiting and making good decisions. But when the time is right to move, we move. We have to move. We go and claim God's territory that God has already anointed us to take. And we don't apologize for it. We're just going to go take more territory for the kingdom. We don't need to kick any doors open because the doors are already open for us when we get there. It just happens that way. We're not going to stand around knocking on an open door. We're going to step through it in obedience to do what God has led us to do. This little church plant that you're sitting in a part of right now, we're just like 7 months old. All right, I celebrate 6 months of the first of this month, and next week it'll be 7 months old. And it started with a group of people who waited and waited and waited and waited and waited And we waited, and we took steps that we could take, and we knocked on doors to see if they would open. But all the while, we tended the sheep back at the sheepfold, and we literally played the music. Then we took a long shot. We took a Hail Mary pass with Little Arrows Play Cafe that's downstairs. Some of your kids are in there. And we took this long shot that a lot of people didn't think would work. It's like 2% chance that this might happen. You know, it was a long shot. It was a Hail Mary. After 3 years of waiting and praying and waiting and praying, July of 2017, we opened that. And then within a month of opening Little Arrows Play Cafe, in August of 2017, the opportunity to get started on opening this, Engage Newark, the worship venue, the opportunity just sort of opened up to us, and that was a way ahead of schedule for us, all right? It was faster than what we had planned, and it was a shock to our systems, and in fact, some people got blindsided by it. You know, they're like, whoa, 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 that's not what I bargained for. Wait a minute, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? That won't work either. We had taken the long shot. We completed the pass. We slayed the giant, so to speak, but the goal was not quite yet accomplished. We had the ball on the one-yard line, and all we needed to do was plunge it across the goal line, and we did that April 1st, 2018, when we started this up. Can we plunge that ball across the goal line? First service in here. Many of you were part of that. We took the plunge because the timing was right. The doors were open at the right time. We didn't step on anybody to elevate ourselves. In fact, we took pains to lift up other people with us who wanted to come and be lifted up. God gave us the time. He gave us the place. And while we had gotten accustomed to waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, the urgency for launching Engage moved up because the timing was right. And the timing was right in God's timing. The funny thing is, it was 4 years longer than what we planned, but 2 years ahead of schedule. I don't know if that even makes sense. But it took longer to open up the first thing, and then the second thing took too much. It was too fast, you know. It was in God's timing. It was 2 years ahead of schedule. And now here we are, 7 months later, and you're a part of that story. And you've been a part of that story, whether you knew it or not, years ago, because we were praying for you, even when we didn't know your name, because we said, God, you know their names. You know their names, so you're going to bring them along. And we're going to all worship together. You know their names, so bring us the people. And God has brought the people. So as we join together 7 months into a church plant, I kind of look around and I'm amazed where we've come from in those 4 years and the last 12 months or so. We've come from so quickly from the sheepfold and out here to this place. And I give God so much thanks for giving us that game-winning victory, that touchdown, the victory. And I've been really praying that prayer for quite a while. And you know what God said to me? God said, what made you think this was the last drive of the game? What made you think this was the game-winning touchdown? I'm telling you, this is not the game-winning touchdown. This is just the first touchdown. This was the first drive of the game. We're only just getting started. This isn't the culmination of 4 years. This is the beginning of 20 years, folks. This is the beginning of the next set of downs, the next series, the rest of the game. God's telling us we've only just gotten a taste of what God's going to do, and we're about to have a hurry-up offense. We're about to keep going here, guys. This isn't the end of the game. It's just the beginning. There's a lot more touchdowns that we're going to score together. And folks, I want you to capture a vision. Capture a vision of what this church could be. If you think this is nice and cool right now, I mean, it is. I like it. I think it's cool, but it's just the beginning. This is only the start. Our cafe downstairs has impacted so many lives in our county, and believe it or not, the neighboring counties and counties far from that. For some reason, God is just blessing that place down there, and we're impacting so many lives, and you're a part of it. And we want you to continue to be a part of it. And if that captures your heart, if that captures your vision, then we want you to plunge across the goal line with us again and again and again and again, because there's a lot more touchdowns to be scored. There's a lot more celebrations to be had. David plunged across the goal line and he became king. He waited 13, 14, 15, 20 years to become king. And then he had 33 more years. He had 33 more years that he developed his kingship and he developed his kingdom and he expanded his territory. Attaining the position of the king that he was anointed wasn't the end of the story. That was just the beginning. And God used him to bring blessing to the entire nation. So I'm just asking you, where are you in it? Where are you in it? Maybe you know there's an anointing somewhere, and there's you're probably meant for greater things than just this job or just this position or this location where you're at. And I'm not meant to be in this house, or I'm not meant to be in this shelter at this time. I'm meant for more than this. But maybe right now you can't attain that just yet. So grind it out. Dig in. Do the fundamentals. Do the basics. And prepare yourself for what God has for you. Or maybe you're at a point in time where it's time, it's ready to take the long shot. You know, I'm just going to throw that Hail Mary pass and see what happens. I'm going to take the long shot because God has been preparing me for this moment and I'm ready to take the shot and I'm going to go for it. Or maybe you're at goal to go and you just got to plunge that sucker across the goal line and get this thing done and take what God has given you and attain the anointing that God has anointed you for long ago. And wherever you are at, I want you to hear this also, that you are a part of a greater story than yourself. This isn't just about you. It's about you, but it's not just about you. You're part of this greater story just by coming here and being a part of this just on this Sunday morning. You've been part of our prayers and our journey for years and years prior to this moment today. And I want you to capture a vision for the city. I want you to capture a vision for the counties that surround us. And that if this thing captures you, then you capture it too and plunge in with both feet, the whole self. Because the vision is basically this. This is our DNA. We reach lost people through self-sustaining ministries and engage people in worship of God and service of others. That's it. That's all we do. And we just do it over and over and over again. And now you're here to be a part of it. We do it out of the overflow of God's love for us. If that vision captures you, then join in. Join in with both feet. Take the plunge. We've plunged it the first time. Now join us in plunging it over again and over and over again. Because every time the touchdown is scored, what do? We celebrate. Every time someone takes a plunge for Jesus Christ, guess what? There's a celebration in heaven. And we repeat that celebration right here on earth. So we need you. And we need you, not just the part of you that comes a couple times a month. Okay? We need all of you. The whole self. The whole person plunging in and saying, this is who I am. We need your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole body joining in God, worship of God consistently, regularly, submitting yourself to discipleship so that you can grow and become like Jesus. And guess what? We need your finances too. If you're going to do those things, you're going to come in with both feet with your finances too. Because next year, 2019 is not that far off. We're going to start to take steps to charter as a self-sustaining ministry, a church that's on our own two feet. And we're going to need all of you to be a part of that. And I'm not talking about just finances there. I'm talking about everything from working in children's ministry all the way to doing the things that need to be done. Just being a part of this community together. We can't rely on a couple of individuals to do it all. Our faith demands that we plunge in with both feet. And so, as we close here today, I want you to think about those three levels of personal. You know, what's God anointing you to do that you can't take yet? What's the long shot there that God might be leading you to do? And what is it that it takes to plunge across the goal line? And maybe for some of you, that thing is plunging across the goal line, taking that first step of believing in Jesus Christ, confessing with your mouth, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Lord, is your Savior. And so as we close, we're going to sing one more song, I think. This song is a type of celebration. You guys can come on up. It's a type of celebration, but it's the kind of celebration that we have when you plunge a ball across the goal line and you take new territory and you score the touchdown and you have the goal and you attain it. And if your first goal is to become a believer in Jesus Christ and take that step today, there is no time like the present to join in the family of faith. And it's a prerequisite to have a relationship with God for a lifetime and even in the next lifetime. So do that today and don't wait any longer. Plunge across that goal line today.